Well, good morning. My goal this morning is to keep you awake, not be boring or preachy, and not mess up. I've always felt that everything is interconnected. Somewhere a long time ago, I heard a metaphor for existence, and it was described as a vast ocean of which we're all a part. And when we're given life, we become a little wave that pops up. We remain there for a little while, and then we sink back down into the vastness of the sea, mingling and dispersing throughout it. My commute these days is over to the East Bay, and I actually feel pretty fortunate to go over three bridges on my way to work, and I get a very high view of the water below and the little waves. It's nice to have that little inspiration before I start the workday. Now, last October, my 22-year-old niece, Celeste, came to visit from Utah. She was actually on her way to England to start a new job as a hairdresser on cruise ships. I had only met her 2 years before when my wife, Linda, and I had gone to the funeral of her mother, my sister. I had not spoken to my sister for many years. My sister and I were never really close. And for various reasons, I just cut off contact with her a number of years ago. After she died, I realized that those reasons were pretty trivial and petty, but of course then it was too late. To be honest, there were things about her I did not like, and I just let our relationship stop. I chose not to love her when I could, and now I can only have regret. It was a hard lesson for me to learn. On the positive side, I found a whole new family I really didn't know: her husband Corey, her son Forrest, and our niece Celeste. Now, the day Celeste was flying out of Logan, my son's family and I went to Boston. We had lunch at the Union Oyster House. Forrest and his fiance came and met us there. And afterwards, he was going to drive her to the airport. It was a bright but chilly afternoon, and we had some time, so we decided, let's walk down to Boston Common. So we walked around the Common, and then on the way back to the car, we went up the stairs that are one end of the Common. And there was a building with Unitarian Universalist Association written on the door. I didn't know it was there. Celeste said to me, "Oh, they're your people there. They like everybody, don't they?" We all laughed, and I said something like, "Yeah, there they are, and yes, they do. Thank you for that." Later, I thought how my being a UU had flavored her perception of what I believe and what we believe as a group. It was a nice feeling to hear her say that, but I realized that it's not totally correct. I'd like to share with you that I wrote a couple of years ago when I was thinking about this very subject. It's called, "I Don't Like You." What if I don't like you? What if your views and opinions make the little hairs on the back of my neck stand up so that I am uncomfortable speaking with you? Perhaps I have a hard time keeping my anger in check when I hear what you have to say. When that happens now, I take a breath, pause, and I remember what I heard a UU minister say. Tell me more. Help me understand why you feel that way. We may always disagree on this, but fairness and courtesy are more important than our differences. I brush my teeth each morning and night, most times. I put on my pants one leg at a time. I get hungry, I eat, I go to the bathroom. I have good days and bad, get happy and sad, angry, scared, confused. I mean, really, don't we have both the same basic needs to fill? I breathe the same air as you. I walk the same earth with you. We live. We die someday. So tell me why you feel that way. Maybe I don't like you, or you me, but we're both people too, and I can always love you. I may not like you, but I can love you. I now realize that when I cut off contact with my sister, I lost many years of knowing her wonderful family. She was the only other person with whom I could explore how we were affected by growing up with alcoholic parents. I think she may have needed those conversations more than I, but my anger blocked out my love for her. She was quite ill the last few months of her life, and she shared doctorphobia just like her father, who'd also died very young. I wonder now if I could have helped her somehow had I not turned away. I lost sight of our unique connection as brother and sister. I forgot about love. Love's been an elusive word for me. It rests in my mind in a lot of different ways. I'm often confused by it, so I needed to search and clarify it a little bit. Googling around the internet, I found that the ancient Greeks had at least three classifications of love: Eros, Philia, and Agape. Now, Eros tends to mean the more romantic love, lovers in love. It can carry a more physical connotation. Erotic stems from that root. Philia is less of the physical, less of the intimate, and more of the love between friends, family, or community. Think Philadelphia, the city of brotherly and sisterly love. Agape is a love of giving, a selfless love. It's sometimes translated as charity. Our own agape fund is a fund to help those in need. For the early Christians, agape was used to describe the love God had for humanity. Think, he so loved the world, he gave up his only begotten son. Now, I found three different sources with nearly an identical definition of this love. One came from the Central Church of Christ in San Jose. Another was on Ask.com by Austin Klein, a former director of the Council on Secular Humanism, and one from a Muslim scholar, Ahmed Afzal, who's on the faculty at Concordia College in Minnesota. I think that's near Lake Wobegon, but I'm not sure. Okay, a Christian, an atheist, and a Muslim all agree on the definitions of love. That's a very good start. We can and do disagree, sometimes passionately and persistently. Tempers can flare, arguments go on and on and on. It could be over profoundly important topics like war, abortion rights, marriage equality, or it can be about more mundane things like sports. But when we lose that human connection, arguments can turn ugly. Witness the several incidents of riots after a sports game with won or lost, or people are being beaten up because they rooted for the other team. I think the problem with conflict or disagreements comes in when one or both of the parties fall back into the us and them mentality. When we retreat into our own little group and sever any human connection to others, we run into trouble. Terence, the ancient Roman playwright, is attributed with this statement: I'm a man. Nothing human can be alien to me. Terence probably never drove a car. At rush hour on 95 in Providence before a holiday weekend after dark in the rain. One sees plenty of alien behavior there, let me tell you. Isn't it strange how our wives can always point out how bad we are and we can always see how bad the other drivers are? One sees a lot of rude, selfish, and dangerous behavior on the highway. Road rage is incredibly intense, and it's usually over the most minor things. Why? We don't usually see other people on the road. We see cars, metal boxes. It's so easy to disassociate from the people driving the car when we're on the highway. And some drivers seem to draw an alter ego from the cars they drive. Tell me the next time you see a Charger or an Avenger or a Grand Fury, does that driver drive differently than a diplomat? Does a Beetle get a lot of respect from a Ram Charger? And don't forget the Escape, the Intrepid, or the Trailblazer, just getting to whatever, usually in a hurry. Will a focus be more attentive than an impulse? And will we someday triumph with insight? Now, how about traffic jams? Stop and go, stop and go. Long lines of red stoplights in front of you, maybe a construction, maybe an accident. You come upon cars trying to get onto the highway from an entrance ramp. A lot of cars will kind of keep it close. Don't let the intruder in. Other people will speed up if there's a little hole. Don't want to get anybody in front of you. I'll usually let that person in. Courtesy. I'm getting a little mellow in my gray years. And I watch as we creep along. Up ahead, someone may put a blinker on to come into that lane. Invariably, cars will seal up the holes. Don't let any possible space for the intruder. But 99 times out of 100, the car that I let into the lane will let somebody into the lane. Courtesy is contagious. And it can strengthen the universal connection each of us share. It can open a path to common ground. Simple courtesy. I did find some common ground with a person that came as a surprise to both of us. There's a woman who works in the same office as I, but she's in a different building usually, so I only see her a couple of times a year. One day she's lamenting, "My degree really doesn't help me in all these daily tasks I have to do." I said, "Oh, what's your degree in?" "Religious studies. I'm a fundamentalist Christian." "Oh," I said, "I'm a Unitarian Universalist." She said, "Well, I don't think we have much in common." Well, I told her, I believe that all things are interdependent. Everything's related to everything else, and we must treat each other and our earth with care and respect. "Oh," she said. She paused a moment. "My Bible says the same thing." It was enlightening for both of us. For a moment, that multitude of differences that we could have gotten into just faded away. We found a small island of mutual agreement, of commonality. Now, I'm quite sure that if we got into theoretical discussions about theology or social values, a lot of topics could have caused us to have extremely long and complicated arguments. And that's not to say that I wouldn't welcome that at some other point. I kind of look forward when fundamentalist Christians come knocking on the door and I get into discussions with them. But for our work and relationship, we found a bond of agreement, of community, that has improved our ability to function as a work group. We concentrated on what we agree on. I've done a few sermons, and every one for me is a journey of discovery. I usually have at least half a dozen final drafts, and the first one is never the same as the last one. I have a great respect for ministers that have to do this almost every week, let me tell you. I do give them a lot of credit. Now, in writing this sermon, I realized that anger and selfishness can block love, especially with those whom we're closest. And regret may be the price to pay. Selfishness breeds disregard for others, and courtesy is contagious. And finding common ground with others with whom one may have many points of disagreements can smooth the way for a good, if careful, work and relationship. And behind it all is love, agape. To me, love is the realization that I'm a part of you And you're a part of me. And none of us are that important or that immortal compared to the vastness of existence. So why waste time hating one another? Whatever we disagree about is not as important as treating each other with courtesy and respect. To me, that is love. And that spirit is why I became a Unitarian Universalist. Thank you.